Brandon Marshall.
Noah Syndergaard.
I'm Andrew Blanquist.
I'm Jamal Adams.
World Series champion, Kino Martinez.
Two-time Olympic gold medalist and World Cup champion, Tobin Meath.
And you listen to Danielle McCartan.
On 60 Minute Overtime.
On WRPR.
www.prosportsrundown.com. At Coach McCartan. Facebook.com/CoachMcCartan.
Welcome to the home show. Today is March 28th. I am home. I am not in the WFAN studios. I am at my house. Welcome to McCartan before midnight tonight here on this very free, the very zero advertising, the very zero revenue for me, Blog Talk Radio, everybody. I put in for a 90-minute time slot and can't change it, so I've already wasted 11 of your minutes. But we figured it out. That's the best part. It will cut us off. 9:30. So let's get your calls in right away. I'll give out the WFAN phone number. This phone number is 516-418-5864. So why am I doing this, you might ask? Well, first, let me crack open this white claw. See, I could do this at home. I can't do this in the studio. And so the answer to the question is, why am I doing this is? Well, it's to maintain contact with my growing audience at WFAN and possibly even reach a new audience with this platform. We'll see. In the meantime, chin chin, as they say in Italy, or cheers. Because as you know, you can listen to WFAN without a terrestrial radio nowadays. All you have to do is download the very free radio.com app and search for WFAN right there. So when you call me tonight, all I see are phone numbers. So make sure you say your name and where you're from, just like we would on the fan. Well, I usually say it, but I have a call screener for that. But here I am by myself. And for those of you who don't know me, I am Danielle McCartan, an overnight host at WFAN Radio New York City, which is 660 AM and 101.9 FM. My time slot is from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., Saturday nights into Sunday mornings. Uh-oh, hit the play button and nothing happens. What am I missing here? Uh-oh. You should be able to hear me. Okay, all right, just telling them to refresh. Okay, so the answer to that question is just to maintain my audience with you guys. And if you're new, welcome. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. I soon will be back in my regular time slot on the regular way you usually listen to me. But until then, here's a creative way to stay in touch with and talk with you all, new listeners and weekly listeners alike. So welcome to all of you. Thank you for joining me. I hope you don't mind this 8 p.m. time frame, because remember, when there's a will, there's a way, always. And this is not going to stop me. And one other thing, I invite you to check out my podcast on the radio.com platform. I've got 3 episodes up there already. They're only 30 minutes each, so you guys can breeze through them. I will be recording an episode number 4 on Monday evening with the University of North Carolina head women's basketball coach, Courtney Banghart. I'll have that episode posted Tuesday. And if you want to get your audio question in for her, we'll take it. How you do that is you open up voice memos on your iPhone, record your name, your location, and your question. Then you can send it to me at danielle.mccartan, M-C-C-A-R-T-A-N, at intercom.com. I'll get it answered for you guys. And with that being said, the first thing that I'd like to address right off the bat, excuse the pun there, is a tweet from the other day by New York Post writer Andrew Marchand. I think that's how you say his name. And the tweet said, WFAN/Entercom has cut part-time talk show hosts and update people. All the top hosts are adding a 6th day. Let me set this straight. I have never been cut from anything in my entire life, and it's not going to start with WFAN Radio. I am upset with the wording of that tweet, and as a writer, I feel that Marchand knew exactly what he was doing. He could have added the word temporarily cut in here, for example, and I would have been totally fine with that, because that is the truth. I had a problem with people interpreting that tweet as if I lost my job as a host on the fan. I did not. That single tweet, which was short, by the way, he did have room for more characters, has rocked my own fan base. So please, please do not turn off the dial. I am still doing my thing, and so are all the other part-time hosts. Just due time. And we will be back, all of us, regardless of what Martin tweets. You guys can follow me at Coach MCCARTAN on Twitter and Facebook.com/Coach McCartan. And in full transparency, everybody, I was surprised to see that I received an email from Andrew Marchand, which I have not yet responded to. It was a very nice email. He expressed well wishes on my health and safety, and then explained that the tweet was part of a series. No one reads the entire thread, not even me in this instance, and I'm being discussed. I will explain to him when I have a few minutes exactly what I just explained to you, the impact of a few keystrokes and a misphrasing on my listenership. So with that out of the way, here is a topic train for our 90-minute show tonight. Let's try and stick with something from this list. One, how's your quarantine going? What have you been doing at home? Two, Tom Brady's a Buccaneer. This is by request. TV.com now has a new double meaning. We talked about this last week, but someone wanted me to reiterate it, so we can talk about that. Hey, what about baseball's return, number 3 and number 4? The NFL draft will be held on the same timeline as planned. Good move? Bad move? Let's hear about it. Number 5, the NFL draft for our New York teams, the Jets and Giants. We'll talk about that as well. And then number 6, Robbie Anderson's departure and the plans for the Jets moving forward. This one might be my favorite one of the night. Your fondest opening day memory. And number 8, got to sneak this in there because this is what I've been doing a lot of. Sports video games. So when you call, please say your name or type your name. There's no typing. So let's just say your name and your location. I don't know exactly how this works yet. So just so everybody knows who you are. Let's go right to this number. It's a 631 number. Let's hope this works. Hello, who are you?
It's because of this. You're a star. That's for sure. Lenny from Long Island right here. And I'm going to go off topic a little bit, okay? I want to talk about the Mets.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think the Mets just continue to make unbelievable moves. The Noah Syndergaard Tommy John surgery. Now, I found it interesting that when they announced this, the odds on the Mets winning the National League East and the National League pennant did not change. I found that to be interesting when they lose their second best pitcher. But
that can't be right.
No, I know it can't be right, but it is right. All right, it was 5-2. It was 5-2 to win the National League East. It hasn't changed. 17-2 to win the National League pennant, and that hasn't changed either. But here's the thing.
Wow.
Last year, Shohei Ohtani was supposed to have Tommy John surgery, and he postponed it. So he could get some at bats and then have it in the off season. It's been very well documented that unless you have essential surgery, these kind of surgeries are supposed to be put off. There is a ban on non-essential surgeries.
Right.
And with Noah Syndergaard having Tommy John surgery on Thursday, what do you think about that? I think that your buddy Mike Francesa came out with something. He said the Mets were the biggest idiots. They just should have had the surgery, kept it quiet, and then somewhere down the road announced that he had it. What do you think? And keep doing a great job. I really think you're terrific.
Thanks, Lenny. I appreciate the call there. And that's the thing about Noah Syndergaard. The problem with Noah Syndergaard is this, or the problem with what the situation you just outlined is this. What is essential and what is non-essential surgery? Because you know, if you're a surgeon and you need surgery on your hands, well, that's essential surgery. But here you are, Noah Syndergaard, who is a pitcher who needs his arm. That would be considered essential surgery for Noah Syndergaard as a pitcher in the Major League Baseball system. So it's just that essential versus non-essential label is a little bit ambiguous, I would say. So, listen, Noah Syndergaard got the surgery. It is what it is. He wasn't going to pitch through it anyway. And, you know, it is what it is. They'll see him again next year. And as far as Luis Severino as well. You know, but what baffles me is that they didn't find it. He was pitching this whole off-season program. They didn't find it? We've got a comment here, esotericism. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but he said Tommy John surgery is usually career threatening. I don't think anymore, because when you look at all the pitchers that have had it, so many of them one of them being the Mets' number one starter. Jacob deGrom has had Tommy John surgery. So, you know, maybe it used to be, not anymore. In my opinion, not anymore. So if you guys want to get on the phone, it's 516-418-5864. Again, 516-418-5864. Okay, let's go to this 914 number. Hello, who are you?
This is Monty from Westchester.
Hey, Monty, what's up?
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
I sure can. You're doing a terrific job, Danielle, reconnecting with your fans during these tough times. We all appreciate it.
Thank you.
I want to talk about, I looked at your list for topics, and I'm going to have to go with number 7. My fondest opening day memory, I'm going to go way back.
Go ahead.
I've been a Yankee fan for a long time, and I'm going to go back to 1978. The Yankees were coming off a World Championship, Game 6 of the previous World Series. Reggie Jackson had 3 home runs. Reggie made a famous quote. He said, "If I ever played in New York, they would have to name a bar after me." So would you? I mean, as luck would have it, during the offseason, they came out with a Reggie bar. And opening day at Yankee Stadium in 78, they handed out these free Reggie bars to everyone who attended. Sure enough, Reggie hits a home run his first time up at bat. He hits a long drive into the right center field seats. Something bizarre happened, maybe you know about it. I know it's before your time, but the fans in the upper deck, they threw their Reggie bars onto the field. And,
what?
Of course, about a 20-minute delay. True story. You could probably look this up on the Internet, on Google. It was amazing. We were all in hysterics. I went there with my dad. I never saw him laugh so hard in my life. It was incredible. Yankees won the game, and we know what happened after that. That was an historic season. I came back from 14 and a half games behind to overtake the Red Sox. An incredible season. But at that point, it was, the Yankee Stadium was still remodeled. It was remodeled in 1976. So it was quite a day. And only Reggie could do something like this. He always had a flair for the dramatic. It's probably my favorite opening day memory of the games that I've gone to on opening day.
And where were your seats? Where were you guys sitting?
Oh, we were sitting in the lower left field reserves. We were right opposite third base, parallel to third base. Terrific seats. And as I recall, it was a beautiful day. It was about 60 degrees. Of course, in those years, the season always opened in April, usually around April 5th or 6th.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah. So other than that, there was one other opening day I went to, more recent, 1996, also a World Series championship year for the Yankees. 1996, Andy Pettit pitched. It happened to snow that day. I believe the Yankees have shown that on the Yes Network.
I think I've
games
seen
that.
Yeah.
Right. That was a polar opposite of the weather conditions in 1978. But probably the two most fondest memories of opening day for me.
Well, Lenny, do you have Marty? I'm sorry, I was reading something. Do you have tickets, or did you have tickets for the 2020 season? Because you seem to be every time you go to opening day, the Yankees win the World Series.
Yes, well, I do have. Actually, I'm on this partial season ticket plan. I go all the Sunday games that they play and 3 night games. So it's a 16-game plan. I've been doing this for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, Lenny.
Best of luck with the podcast. You're doing a terrific job, and you have a lot of fans out there, Danielle, and we really appreciate what you're doing tonight. And I hope you get back to a regular schedule real soon.
I know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But until then, I got to figure out a better way to do this. You know?
Right.
Remember how you touch the stuff before you start. I'm a little annoyed. All right, and thanks for that. So if you guys want to get aboard with any of those topics or anything else that's on your mind, 516-418-5864. I'm really not used to seeing an empty call log here. So this is going to be a real short show if we don't get any callers calling in. So text your friends, have them call in. And since Marty just went there, let's go there. So my opening day memory, bad memory for Boston fans. Yeah, well, I have a baseball signed by Bucky Dent, and he signed it Bucky Essen Dent. We know how that goes. We know how that ended. Lenny is telling me you can't hear as I'm going in and out. I've got a 3 out of 5 bars on my cell phone. I don't know any other way I could fix this. This is not working out the way I thought it was going to work out tonight, huh? All right, well, I'll keep forging ahead. So some opening day memories. Well, I've only been to one opening day game, just one time. The date was Thursday, March 30, 2011. It was the Detroit Tigers at the New York Yankees. So my cousin has season bleacher tickets for the Yankees, and he tells me that he's going to be on his way back from Florida as the game starts, but that he will be at the game. I'm like, yeah, right. There's no way he's going to make this game. So I go out of my aunt and uncle's house a few days before the game to pick up the two tickets. My uncle, who has now sort of recently passed, handed me the tickets after talking a while, and he told me that he is so glad that I am so close with my cousin, his son, and that we are always close growing up. He told me to have a great time at the game, and I walked out the door. When I got to the stadium on the day of the game, I remember it was freezing that day, F-R-A-H, freezing that day. But I didn't totally mind because I had just bought myself a New York Yankees on the field coat. I had gloves on, layers on, and that coat, which I still wear into the WFAN studio every week, that's what they wear on the field. So it's very warm and very waterproof. So I drop my cousin's ticket off at the will call window, and I find my way into the stadium. And after a social media post, as I was walking in, a friend from college reached out and texted me to ask where I was sitting. Bingo! I did not have to watch the game myself until we got there. She was with her boyfriend, who's her husband now, and his friends. So I went to sit with them in their section and sat among them, and luckily there was an empty chair in their row. And my cousin called me in the fifth inning. He was there. I couldn't believe the time he made. He was in the air during first pitch, and he was in the stadium by the fifth inning. Flew it to Newark. Anyway, I thanked my friend from college and made my way down to the bleachers to meet up with him. It was a great game. Again, it was another home run thing. But in the bottom of the seventh inning, Curtis Granderson homered off Phil Koch, who was a Yankee at one point, with the game tied 3-3. It was a 2-0 count. And it went right out down the right field line. By the way, Mark Teixeira already had hit a home run in that game, the third inning versus Justin Verlander. CC Sabathia started. Jobber Chamberlain came on in relief. And then Rafael Soriano, and then, of course, Mariano Rivera. The Yankees ended up winning that game 6-3 in front of 48,226 people. I did look that one up. That's my opening day story. Danielle, new to your show. What's your take on the Astros scandal? Oh, my God. See, this whole thing, the Astros got away with this whole thing because now they're not going to have to go to the stadium and hear the boos and hear all of that. That's ridiculous. So now the Astros deserve everything that they got and more. You know, I was hoping that the Astros were the players are going to get suspended. We talked about this on the show. The one thing is the GM. Another thing is the manager. And by the way, what's up with the Red Sox scandal? Do we even know where the Red Sox scandal is coming from? Where is that report, everybody? We don't know. We don't know where that report is. And where is it? I'd like to see it. But they're never going to release it now. They can't keep it forever, can they? But I think that there should have been players suspended because none of them seem to want to have stopped it. You got Carlos Beltran, who was the ringleader of the whole thing. He should never see that baseball field again. And that's really hurt his Hall of Fame chances. I hope he gets not one vote. I mean, he destroyed the game of baseball, not at the professional level, but at every single level. Okay? Will you agree that the MLB gave the Astros a pass? Yes. The MLB gave the Astros a total pass. Still showing no remorse for it. I saw one of the players posted something online, and it was like a bragging thing about he took a picture of his ring. I forget who it was. I mean, are you kidding me? You're absolutely showing no remorse. Jeremy Riggs says, I tried to hit play, but nothing happened except how far into the show I am. No. Oh, no. Oh, no. Do we have a fix for that, guys? Oh, no. This is not good. We got to try a different way. Maybe we can try Zoom next week. Unless you guys want to go to Zoom now. Mike Boston says, I would love to see the Red Sox investigation results. They told us all offseason it was very minor. Yeah, but that's so where is it? Where are the results if it's so very minor? Huh? That's what I would like to know. And let me see if I can get this a double stream going here on Zoom. Because if we can do that, we might migrate to there. If you guys aren't liking my connection here. Hold on. We could do an audio-only meeting with Zoom. Because this blog talk thing, it's not a... Let's do video only. Hey, when do you think... Hey, Jordan, when do you think MLB will start? May, June, July, the earliest. Yeah, Mike in Boston said he's not defending them. We all want to know also. Yeah, I think this is it's time. I mean, let's go. Let's release the results and give us probably why they're not doing it. So back to Jordan's question. When do you think the MLB will start? May, June, July, the earliest. So here's the thing, Jordan. I always call people out for saying, oh, well, my source this, my source that. I have a source, and I have a source through a friend, and my friend doesn't know that I'm using this source, so I hope she's not listening, and if she is, I'm in trouble. But I have a source of a baseball player not on a New York team, and that player says that he has been told that they are looking at a June 1st date. They are looking at a June 1st for MLB. And I hope that on June 1st, that's going to be with no fans in the stands. And if you saw what just had come out with Major League Baseball, is that they said that they are operating under these things. And by the way, I ran a very scientific Twitter poll a few weeks ago asking which sport was going to be back first. The majority vote was baseball, and I agreed. And yesterday, I think it was, the players and the league agreed that the 2020 MLB season won't begin until, number one, no governmental edicts on mass gatherings that would prevent teams from playing in their home stadium. Here in this area, that's going to be a long time to come. So is the rest of the league going to wait for the New York area? Two, that there are no travel restrictions in the USA and Canada. And medical experts, number three, will determine the games that will not pose a risk to the health of teams and the fans. So this doesn't look like it's going to be anytime soon, let's be honest. So let me just put your speakerphone here. I'm just trying to set up a account for you guys. He says they'll start in June because this virus can't survive in the heat, so they say. Yeah, they are saying that this virus can't survive in the heat. But I'm wondering, like, I always think about that too, but I'm not no doctor, you know, but when I look at all the cases worldwide, everywhere is being affected. I mean, isn't it, if it's winter or here, that means it's going to be summer somewhere else? And you saw that Tom Hanks was in Australia. Isn't it summertime there? I don't know, but isn't it summertime there? And he still got it. You know, I don't know if someone can get a real professional in on that to see, you know, does it really survive in the hot weather? Okay, so I think I got a Zoom room going. If you guys wanted to go onto the Zoom or post a link, just you can stay where you are. I'm going to leave this one open too. But just give me a second so I could tweet this out. And give me 1 second. Audio only here too. Okay. I'm going to say raise hand to speak. Okay. All right. Let me copy that, tweet that. I'm working my butt off here, guys. Working my butt off. Let me just go to my Facebook page too as well. And I could send that out here as well. Okay. So the NFL, yes, is the only sport operating as is. Yeah. And you know what? Good. It should be. It should be operating as is the NFL. Why should they have to delay the season? They shouldn't. Okay. As a teacher, and this is how I'm so pretty good at multitasking here. As a teacher, I mean, I am multitasking every day of every. That's what I do in my real career as a teacher. I multitask every minute of every day. So people are complaining about the draft not being postponed. Listen, of all the sports, the NFL and the WNBA, for that matter, have the best shot at resuming normal play, as if this COVID thing has never happened. So why make a decision to delay it, possibly unnecessarily? You saw the players at the combine, okay? They talk to the players at the combine. They have years of tape to study in in-person meetings. Well, I wish I could have an in-person meeting with my students, but guess what? We're making the best of the situation. We are conferencing every single day. Owen, you can't share your screen with me, guy, because I can't see what I'm doing here. But guess what? We teachers across this nation are making the best of a situation. We are conferencing every single day, and that falls under my umbrella. And you know what? I don't feel bad. Because why don't they use video conferencing to show the prospective athlete around? Make it work, just like millions of teachers across this country are making it work. Zero sympathy. Let the draft go on. Okay, we have a call. Okay, so let's see. It's loading. Hi, welcome to the show. Who are you?
I'm Marcel from New York.
Hey, Marcel, what's going on? You say you're going to call me every week. We finally got you.
Well, believe it or not, I just call you from WFAN and then going to be bumped off. You're going to be bumped off for sure. So now for the first time, Miss McCartan,
mm-hmm.
I just call you.
All right.
It's good to be here. What? Hey, it's good to be here for me tonight. First time. Here's my phrase. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. We're still in the coronavirus hits New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Let's get into it. Believe me.
All right. Let's do it.
Believe me. I'm a caller of the year on the Ben Maller Show. I have the New York sports correspondent on the Big Jabs, Morning Jab in Portland, Maine on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I have the Clemson report on Fridays for all things Clemson athletics. Now, without the WFAN's McCartan after midnight on the weekends, I'll be here finally for the first time in all of Block Talk Radio Internet history for you, Daniel McCartan.
All right.
Well, I really miss sports, and believe it or not, I have the Mets, the Yankees, the Knicks, the Nets, the Islanders, the Knicks, the Nets, the Devils, the Rangers here. Yeah, Giants, Jets, too, and the Gladiators. Remember, Danielle, that you follow me on Twitter at AfterDarkMarcel, and you just unfollowed me.
Marcel, you told me you were going to be calling in every single week and never did.
I
might have to hit the refollow button since you have.
I understood, but be careful, my friend. It will be suspended from my Twitter account. At MarcelMark70 is not going to work. It's not going to work. But at After Dark Marcel is a great place to follow for my latest breaking news on the coronavirus, the latest sports updates with you and my Twitter followers, and of course, awesome, fun ways, both good and bad.
Okay, Marcel, we've got it, Marcel. All right, I will hit follow. Just send me a message so I can find that again. I'm looking at four different screens at this very moment.
Let me spell that for you, Danielle. At AfterDarkMarcel.
All right, you got it, Marcel. Thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate the check-in.
Sure. Now, believe it or not, the Mets lost to the Nationals in the MLB The Show 20 this afternoon, 4-3.
I saw that.
And the Yankees beat the Orioles yesterday as well. But can the Mets come fight right back, find out tomorrow in the MLB The Show 20's official website, along with SNY? And, of course, yes, indeed, on YouTube.
All right, and
Danielle, I just subscribed you on YouTube as well.
There you go. Did you find something you like down there?
Well, yeah, but can you subscribe me on YouTube, please?
Yeah,
one, I have going. Forever.
Send me
one,
a message.
I have
You have to send me a message. I'm looking at literally 5 screens right now, so I can't.
Forever Friends Podcast from Spreaker is my YouTube channel and subscribe. My second one is the Marcel Marx YouTube channel instead. And here's Danielle, before I say anything to you, I have my video message from my followers and especially you on the coronavirus.
Mm.
Stay safe and God bless. Believe it or not, you are, and we're all in this together.
That's right.
Simple as that.
Well, Marcel, thank you for the phone call.
Of course. Danielle, you're gonna follow me, and I gotta turn off my privacy and safety so you can follow me.
All right, you got it. Thanks, Marcel. I appreciate the call. A couple questions coming in here. In the text, if they start in June, the survivors can't survive in the heat, so they stay. So what do the Mets do better than any other MLB team? The Mets, what they do better than any other MLB team is they hit with they spray the ball all over the field. They have a good power and just putting the ball in play. That's what I love about the Mets team and this year as well. Lenny says, if one player gets the virus, then the season might be over. Ah, yeah. Jordan wants to know, do you think they will allow people in the stadium for MLB after the first month? Well, it's just going to be dependent upon this curve that everybody seems to be talking about. So we'll see. Maybe they'll just – I was thinking about how can they sell like every third seat or something, but that would never work. People don't even sit in their same right seats as it is. Lenny says, Scott Boras says a World Series Christmas Day. Yeah, and that begs the question as well of, you know, if it is going to be on Christmas Day, let's just say, it has to be played in a warm weather stadium, which I am not a fan of that, especially since our Yankees are expected to be going to the World Series. Why should it be played in Florida? What if the Yankees in the World Series are playing, I don't know, let's say the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have a warm weather stadium? And so if the Dodgers have a warm weather stadium, their fans are obviously, it's going to be a home field advantage for one of the teams. You know, geographically, is one closer than the other? I mean, there's a lot to work out. That is one thing that I do not like. My wife is a teacher. Lots of respect. What do you teach? Italian. I love your show, Danielle. Just stumbled on you. Great job. Goddess. Goddess, I wouldn't go that far. Jordan wants to know, do you think they will allow participants in the stand after the first month? Oh, he said it again. Okay. Lenny says, I didn't think there was a real answer. So yeah, the Mets have the best opening day winning percentage. Well, there you go. There's your fun fact of the night. Let's go to this 540 number. Again, guys, the number to call in is 516-418-5864. That is the number to call in. I'm also streaming live on Zoom if you guys wanted to find me on there as well. The audio might be a little bit better since it's using my computer microphone, not my phone. Okay, this 540 number. Let's see, loading. Hi, who are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Danielle. This is Scott.
Hi, Scott. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling you from Virginia.
Oh, nice. Okay. What do you have on your mind tonight?
So I've got a question or two for you about how the logistics of starting the baseball season, if we do have an MLB season this year. There's a couple of questions I'm confused with. How do you start? How does the major league teams begin their season if there's no minor leagues to back up the majors? I mean, even if you have an expanded roster, you're going to have players sitting for weeks with maybe not getting any at bats or innings pitched. So, what's the plan for having a backup, having the minor leagues ready to go, have players ready in case of an injury or a player getting in a slump? That, like we know, happens all the time.
Yeah, you know, and that's a major question. I don't think baseball has worked this out yet. But on my show last week, when I was actually in the studio, I had on a minor league baseball pitcher. And I asked him about preparation. And he said it's going to be weeks before, you know, he's doing the best he can. The gyms are not open. You know, gyms across the country are closed. So he was doing the best he can, you know, by soft tossing and throwing on a college field with a college player. I mean, that's what we're looking at now. So, you know, I don't know. I don't even think Major League Baseball knows, you know, what that's going to look like and how that's going to play out. And, you know, apparently the minor league baseball season is supposed to start on April 9th, the last I heard. I just don't see how that's going to happen. I really don't. And that's a great point. That's a great question that I wish I had the answer to. I don't know.
Yeah, I've not heard anyone broach that, you know, especially if they're playing a lot of double hitters, because there's a lot of teams that they'll call up a player from the minor leagues just to have them available for the second game of a double hitter. Well, how do you do that if there's no minor league? Like, I live close, you know, I follow the Orioles. Well, the Orioles AAA team is, you know, their AA team is within 45 minutes of Baltimore. They can get players back and forth pretty quickly if they need them. I don't know how that's going to work if you don't have a minor league system in place. So for MLB to start, it looks like you're going to have the entire professional baseball would have to start.
Right. It's going to have to be that, because think about it. What if you're a catcher? If you're a catcher, catch multiple doubleheaders, you know, in a row. I mean, that's just not possible. So they're going to have to put something in place. I agree with you. But I just don't know what it is. They're going to have to start up the minor leagues as well.
The second question, too, I was wondering, so let's just assume for an example that they say the season's going to start on July 1st. Well, does the season pick up from what the regular schedule where a team would be on July 1st? And how would that work if the season progresses into football season? For instance, if, again, using my Orioles as an example, what if the Orioles have to do some juggling on their schedule and the Orioles have a game on a Sunday that the Ravens may be playing in town too?
I mean, that happens around here, like New York. Like, I mean, it does happen, and it's just, you know, people are just going to have to make a decision. I remember I was at Citi Field when the Giants were playing at home. So, you know, I know that's a logistical nightmare, and I know those stadiums are really close by over there in Baltimore because I've been there. And, I don't know. That's just another coordination thing. I think MLB, though, would have to work around. See, I think the NFL season is going to go on as planned. So I think the MLB will have to work around the NFL season.
And also, one last thought, how much will attendance drop off once Major League Baseball is really getting deep into football season, if they're talking about playing into October? And I mean, I think they're running a risk of really having an embarrassment as far as number of fans that actually go to these games in what would be traditional football season.
Yeah, that's a great point, and you're right. And it'd be interesting to see, especially around here, we have two football teams and two baseball teams. You cannot divide fandom into four on any given day, you know. One is going to suffer. And it's a great point. I mean, and especially when it gets colder, and say the team isn't so good, are they going to be sustaining themselves throughout cold weather if their team sucks? Probably not. I don't know. I love having answers for the callers, and I just always, and I know you're kind of new to the show here, but I always love to have the answers. I never like to be wrong, and I always like to have the answers. But on this, I don't know. Nobody knows how this is going to work. And the other question you had, will it pick up on the day it was supposed to pick up? I proposed last week that that they should just kind of do away. I mean, the first priority to restructure this would be to keep the league games. Keep the league games, get rid of interleague play, get rid of the all-star game and break and all that, and pick out the most important games on the schedule, and those being the division games, and then move on from there. That would be my thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that probably would have to be. And lastly, and I'll let you get back to other callers. I mean, at what point does, you know, if you're a diehard baseball fan, do you get to a point in the season where the integrity of the game is compromised so much that you just say, let's just forget this year, start off again next year? Because there's going to be a point where the quality of play is definitely going to be affected. It just has to be, and you're risking maybe players getting injured,
right?
Because of, you know, because there's not enough backups, they're having to play too many double hitters. I mean, I love baseball; that's my favorite sport, but I don't want to see it start if the integrity of it is compromised, you know, significantly.
Right, and that's something that Mariano Rivera had warned against already last week, and he came out and said the integrity of the game is not going to be the same. And think about it, you're a player. I used to play softball, and when it's cold out, I hated the cold weather games because your arm, it doesn't work the same as, you know, in the summertime, you could shake somebody's hand and get your arm loose. In the wintertime, it doesn't work that way. So if I have a multi-million-dollar arm, I wouldn't want to be pitching in the cold weather. Whether it be at the beginning of the season or the end of the season. I don't want to really be doing it if I don't really have to. So, yeah, you're right. There may be a point where they say, okay, you know what, we'll do next year. But that's a projected $5 billion loss of revenue for the MLB, by the way.
Yeah, and as we all know, money.
Oh, no. Did we lose you? Oh, no, we lost him. I think his point was going to say money drives everything, and you would not be wrong. Let's go to the chat here. Mike in Boston says maybe expand the rosters to 30 if they do a lot of doubleheaders. Yeah, that could be that's a good solution for that. The leagues will work together to not interrupt the revenue. Yes, of course they will. How many games do you think they will play? 81, 100? I don't know. Think about 162-game season. And maybe they'll be hoping to play 100 games, 100 regular season games. It really just depends on you people and me, everybody staying home and flattening the curve. And then we got to go and see. Because the worst thing would be to start up all the sports again, have everybody sitting close by each other, have the players sweating on each other, especially in the case of basketball. And then one person gets it, and then they shut it down. Mike in Boston says, don't forget the possibility of MLB going, oh, yeah, against the NBA and the NHL playoffs in July. You're right. Brooklyn Brawler says, that's a great idea. Just play the division games. Why, thank you, sir. Do you think that the NBA and NHL will resume play? If and when they do, will it be regular season or playoffs? See, that's a good question. I think, I don't know if you guys saw it, and I talked about it on the WFAN show, that Spencer Dinwiddie has a plan. Spencer Dinwiddie's Get Your Legs and Everything. And, then what would happen is everybody gets seeded into like a March Madness style tournament. I would propose 3-game series for the first couple rounds and then a 5-game, 5-game, and a final 7-game series. And this is Spencer Dinwiddie's plan. I can't take credit for it. And what would happen is that the teams would play March Madness style, so you would get that excitement. And most of the teams would make the playoffs, and that would make Knicks fans happy. They won't be making it anyway. And that would make Nets fans happy because they would get a middle-of-the-pack seed. I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie even had the seedings out. So I think that they would play a couple exhibition games just to get their legs, I would hope. And then from there, I would think that the playoffs would resume in that sort of a format. And I think that would be exciting. Because what if you had some upset specials? What if you had some UMBC over Virginia or Virginia Tech, I forget, you know, action going on. Maybe the Knicks make a run. Who knows? Hey, by the way, just so you know, I did have UMBC in that game, by the way. Lenny says if the MLB owners lose a ton of money, will Mookie Betts get $3 million? I don't think that they negotiated full salaries. I was reading something before. I know they agreed to definitely partial salaries. Or will the Dodgers extend Betts 1 year? No, he'll be a free agent at the end of this, at the end of this year. Exo Sarazen said MLB plays 162 games, so cutting the schedule won't be an issue. They can cut the schedule to say 82 games. Every team gets 41 home games, adjust the schedule, and everything proceeds as normal. Cool. Oh, good. You're hearing me much better now, by the way. Maybe the speakerphone works better. I don't know, because that's what I'm on. Yeah, cut it to 82 games, 41 home, 41 away. Is that enough? I think it is enough. All right, let's go to the 646 number. You're going to join the program. Hi, who are you and where are you calling from?
Evening, your coach. This is Ben from Queens.
Oh, Ben from Queens. What's up, Ben?
Well, hey, I am not going to self-promote like two callers ago. Pretty close to the thing. But I'm kind of sad that the Blog Talk Gremlins got to you for this one here. So,
I
have a little experience with the Blog Talk Gremlins myself, but we won't get into that.
It's annoying.
Yes, it is annoying. But I'm going to get into 4 and 7 of your topics. I believe it was 4 and 7 because I have to call on my phone where I've been listening, so I don't have the list in front of me. But to piggyback off the last, I'm one of those fans that was like, okay, we could begin the season right away. Once we get out of this, we'll just jump right back in. And Scott Van Pelt had an interview with the silver medalist of the pole vault, the American silver medalist from the last Olympics. And that opened my eyes because I'm a big sports fan, as you know. I watch everything. And I realized, hold on, we can't just start the Olympics because all now would be tournaments and events and meets where these athletes would have to train and compete and get those things up. You can't just hold the event cold cock like that because we would have injuries and poor play and Lord knows what else up the wazoo. This is not even thinking of the virus and if someone is actually infected to infect other people there. Okay.
Right.
Where baseball and basketball and hockey run into problems is, not only do you got to think about the season, but you got minor leagues, you got a whole bunch of other things or extra factors to consider before we. That's what fans, American fans who aren't used to it, got to remember. If one person gets sick, once you restart, then that's it. You've killed the whole season. You have to be 100%.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah,
that's the problem.
Ben, here's another thing too. When you have multi-million-dollar players on the field, that if they get hurt, I mean, it could be career-ending. They have to take that into consideration as well, especially in the cold weather.
Yep, and
they're investments. Those guys are investments. Those guys.
And okay, I'll add. I think it was 3 to this too. Add 3 to this. Now, people complaining about the NBA, the NFL draft. Oh,
yeah.
It's going to be hard. We can't. You can totally hold the NFL draft.
Of course you could.
You've done online freaking fantasy drafts, right? You hold it like that. Here's the thing that Americans look at the NFL draft. You don't care who's drafted. You want the drama.
Right.
See, I'm a Jet fan. I just want to know who we're picking. That's how, if it's right, it's wrong. We could hold the debates online about what if right, wrong needs a team and all of that. You want to see somebody get Aaron Rodgers, don't you? You want to see that star drop down. You want to see that team make that bad selection so you can kill that team. Just admit it. You know, like all of that.
And you could do that all digitally. You can do it from your couch. They could do it. They could put it on. It's not a problem.
Exactly. You've had all before this hit. You've had all this time to look at these players. You've had all of this time. You know what were you guys doing? Sitting on your hands while all the college bowls were being played? Oh,
right.
Weren't you paying scouts to look at these games? So you know some of these players.
Right.
Just say we can't do. We don't have enough research. Just shows you're a lazy organization. And finally, I'll leave you with this one, Daniel. For opening days, usually I'm working, so I have radio on and all of that. But at my last job before this, I am literally across the highway from Citi Field. So, my last job before my current one, I get to see fans going in and all that, the games coming in. One of the best parts of that was always seeing fans visiting the store in the Mets gear, even though I'm a Yankee fan, visiting in the Mets gear before they go across the highway to visit Citi Field. And that was always a joy, all right? That's the thing that hurts the most, because opening day is new hopes, new dreams, values up, everybody's positive, you know, before soul-crushing defeat sets in for most of the teams in the league, because after all, in the end, there can only be one. But a renewed hope, renewed expectation, what new person's coming up from the minors that's going to capture my heart? What veteran is going to make a miraculous run and be a star of the team? That's what's missing. And with that, Coach, thank you for the time. You got other callers. And hopefully they all treat you well, and hopefully they bring something to the table. Enjoy your day, man.
Well, Ben, thanks for the call always. I always appreciate that. Tonight and any other night, Ben, thank you. There still is going to be an opening day, guys. It's just not going to be in March or April. I think June 1st is what was told to me, June 1st, with a spring training, quote-unquote, in the month of May. Okay, so we have 27 minutes left in the broadcast here. We got some calls on hold. I'm so happy to see this. If you guys want to get aboard, let me see where that number went. It's, 516-418-5864. Okay, we're going to go to this. For this, you are waiting next most on hold. This is a 917 number. Okay, hi, who are you and where are you calling from?
Because he said he talked to him. Actually, he called that morning, and he couldn't get him. And then when he got, he just completely, you know, he just thought it went to voicemail, you know, it wasn't him.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hi. I thought there was a problem with my phone.
I called
you before.
Okay.
Danielle on the fan. My name
yes.
is Mark from Bayside.
Okay. What's up, Mark from Bayside?
Oh, well, what I want to mention to you is that when I think about opening days that I remember that was special, well, one that you'll find humorous, 2009, I was in Baltimore for opening day. I saw the Yankees, of course, playing the Orioles, and I wore a Mark Teixeira shirt. I picked the wrong day to wear a Mark Teixeira shirt. There was a big guy behind me. He must have been about 6'2", 6'3". I didn't even look. And my friends said, Mark, just keep on walking. He says, did you get the text message? And I didn't know what he was talking about. And then my friends were telling me, you know, that obviously a lot of Baltimore fans were upset because he's from the Maryland area, that he didn't sign with them and he chose to sign with the Yankees. So it was kind of a humorous start to the day. CC Sabathia pitched his first game as a Yankee. It wasn't the best game for CC, but it was memorable because looking back upon it, you know, it was the first time I ever saw the Yankees open up on the road. But I think what was more memorable is I was at the last opening day at the old Yankee Stadium in 2008, and that was a very exciting experience. You know, just being there, I sat in the bleachers. That was very exciting, you know. And also I wanted to mention to you while I'm on that my friend Marty, he calls you quite often
from
Westchester. He actually told me about the podcast. I want to tell you that you're great. We talked about Garrett Cole before the Yankees signed him, and I was very impressed with you because you did a lot of homework on Garrett Cole. And I felt very strongly after hearing what you had to say that the Yankees would sign him. So I wanted to make sure I told you that.
Well,
I'm very impressed
with
your knowledge of baseball.
Yep.
Oh, you do remember my call.
Yep.
So it's a pleasure talking to you. And I look forward to talking to you again when you're back on the fan. And hopefully everything will work out well. The Yankees will start the season sometime in June. And I have a Sunday package with the Yankees with my friend Marty. And I would look forward to going back to go to games. Baseball is my favorite sport. I'm blessed that I went to some great games in Yankee history. I was at the famous Pine Tar game, if you ever heard of that. Mm-hmm. I was at the game where Ron Guidry had 18 strikeouts. I was at the game six of the World Series in 1996.
Wow,
where Wade Boggs actually jumped on the horse at the end of the game. I heard he was I heard he was never on a horse in his life, and he was on a horse. It's the funniest thing. And I'll never forget that. I was with my friend Marty, my friend Rich, this guy Lou. I worked for Universal Music at the time. And I had an extra ticket. I said, would you like to go? And he says, are you kidding? It was only $45 for a seat in the upper deck back then.
Wow.
He says, I'll pay you in a couple of weeks. I said, no problem. I went to also game five of the 2000 World Series. My friend Elliot, he had a free ticket. He got tickets. He did some work with some supermarket chain. He chose to invite me, and I met some people. This is great. Before the game, they tapped me on the shoulder, and they were Mets fans, and they said, gee, a Yankee fan's going to Shea Stadium. I said, yeah, but I went to four Mets games this year, and the Mets won. He said, well, can we rub you for good luck? And unfortunately, they picked the wrong day to rub me for good luck. Now, this is the best part. I go to buy the program, and I see a quarter, heads up, and I made a wish. And I think, my wish definitely came true.
Yeah,
so,
very cool story.
I thought you'd find it. So it's a pleasure talking to you, Danielle.
Of course. I appreciate you taking the time to call in, even though I'm not on the big station tonight.
Right. Well, I look forward to seeing you back on the Fan. I know you give me a little bit more time than normal, which is greatly appreciated.
No commercials tonight. Yeah, no commercials.
Right, there's no commercials. which is really good. So I want to ask you, I have a gut feeling that the Yankees when they finally do play, Judge may actually be in that starting lineup and Judge because they have, Judge and I should say Stanton because they're going to have plenty of time to heal. So,
And think about Paxton too.
And Paxton also will be ready. So if you look at the plus side, the Yankees will be 100% healthy by the time they actually play.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you're right as well. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Tori Daniel. I wish you all the best.
Thanks.
Stay safe and be healthy, and I look forward to talking to you on the Fan when you come back.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
You're welcome. You too. Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's go to this 856 number is the next longest holding on.
Hey, Danielle. It's Kevin from Kevin in Camden. How are you?
Oh, hey, Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
Not much. I'm just hanging out right now. I'm not really doing much. I wanted to talk about a couple things. Robbie Anderson going to the Panthers. I don't know if anybody's...
Not yet.
But, I'm kind of like you. I told you this before. I'm kind of like, I wish him well. I don't wish anything bad towards him. I wish him the best. I just think that the Jets would have overpaid for him, and if they would have kept him. So I'm just focused on the draft, see who they can get, CeeDee Lamb or Judy, and see what they could do there. As far as baseball, well, I kind of just wanted to start because it's kind of like miserable without baseball, especially for me since I got the MLB.TV, the yearly. Spent almost $200 on that, so kind of hope I get my money's worth for it. But as far as anything else, I just want to talk about the NFL draft. I think like the caller said earlier, I think that it's a smart decision to go on because you can do it via telephone, and I think it can really work out for a lot of fans. So.
Yeah.
But I think you'll do, I think, like I said, I think you'll be doing great back on the Fan, and I hope to see you back soon. And, hopefully you do this every week, and I'll do what I normally do on the Fan, and I'll call as much as I can.
You got it, Kevin. So, I won't be on next weekend again, so I'll see you here, same time, same place next week.
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate the call.
Welcome.
Okay. This next, 516 number. And just another thing about, I'm going to you 516 in a second. Just a note about the Jets and the draft and Robbie Anderson. You know what? As Kevin said, the Jets, I am so happy, did not overpay for Robbie Anderson. Thank God. They stuck to their guns. And you know what? He went and got the money somewhere else. That's fine. And the Jets got another wide receiver for millions of dollars less. I think they ended up paying him $8 million, I believe. And that's fine. He's just as good as Robbie Anderson was. And you know what? If they're going to save him some money in the long term, lock up Jamal Adams long term, I'm all for it. Okay, with that money. All right, let's go to 516. Hello, and where are you calling from? What's your name? Hello?
Hi, am I on?
Yes, you're on. What's up? Who are you and where are you calling from?
It's John from Westbury. From Stony Brook.
What's up, John?
No, I actually finally get a chance to listen to you. I don't usually get a chance to listen to you overnight, so it's nice to finally get a chance to listen and call in.
All right, cool.
No, about the MLB with opening day, I think what baseball has to worry about is if this whole quarantine and the mass gatherings are not lifted by June, then they're going to run into quite big of a problem. Because you're not gonna want to start the season come July or August and then potentially have the World Series be played in December in some cold area.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the thing is also you don't want to play that late because come September if everything comes back, sports fans are not gonna know which end is up.
Well,
because you're gonna have every sport back and then the Masters and Kentucky Derby.
Right. Yeah, I know. That's the other thing, too. It's going to be a lot. We're going to go from having no sports to a logjam of sports. For me, that's not a bad thing. But, I always want to say, though, that, they have to protect the investment of these arms, these pitchers especially. That's what's most concerning is if a pitcher goes down with an injury relating to the cold, they're going to have a bigger problem on their hands. So maybe it's best to be cautious and move forward with caution. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the problem is what a lot of these sports have to worry about is they don't know which sport is going to be the first one to come back because they don't want all of a sudden come back and then all of a sudden it's, well, we tested somebody and it's, well, they have the coronavirus and it's like, okay, well, we have to cancel the whole season. You don't want to
–
so that's why I think a lot of these sports are going to have to really, be cautious before they come back but also know that they don't lose money from revenue.
Right, but I almost think that they're going to, work together. I mean, the commissioners might have to just work together to figure out a way. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they're going to definitely have to, but it's going to be nice to finally see sports come back because right now, with there being no sports on, my form of entertainment right now is professional wrestling.
I know, I've been watching that, too, professional wrestling.
Yeah, unfortunately, the only thing I'll say about it is that it's tough to watch now because everything is getting pre-taped beforehand and it just doesn't have the same feel.
Well, it's different than when you were in middle school. In middle school, it was a lot more real.
Oh, yeah. But no, it was – that's all I want to say. I just wanted to – I also want to say you do a great job on The Fan, by the way.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Hopefully I'll be back sooner rather than later.
I'm hoping soon as well, but I will definitely be tuning in again next time as well.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, have a good night.
Having a good night. Stay safe.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we have a couple questions here. Jordan on this blog talk chat wants to know, what happens if teams are 2 to 3 points out of a playoff spot? Shouldn't they play 5 to 8 games if they needed to get into the playoffs? I think that's kind of where the Rangers – the last I checked, weren't the Rangers a couple points out of making a playoff spot? Yeah, I would think that they would play. I think they would be marked as exhibition games, though, and maybe you just expand the playoffs, expand it into some sort of big time bracket. Maybe that's how they do it. And by the way, anybody listening on Zoom, I forgot there's a 40-minute maximum. They relieve that for classroom teachers, but there is a 40-minute max. So I just posted this very long link. I actually don't think that would work. So let me see if I can get you another link here so you guys can join us in the main chat here at the Blog Talk chat. This will probably work. Okay, there you go. I'm going to try this link. Okay, anybody listening on Zoom, you got to go to that link and tune in because you're going to time out in 20 seconds. I'm sorry about that. I forgot about that. Okay, so let's go back to the phones. If you guys wanted to call in, here's the number one more time. We have 14 minutes left, so I want to get as many as possible. So we got the number is 516-418-5864 is what it is. Okay, so give me a call. We have this 470. What area code is that? 470 on hold. Hi, you're on the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Danielle. I'm a first-time caller. My name is Patrick.
Right.
I'm calling from Georgia. This is the
Welcome.
First time I've ever stumbled up on your show. I love what you're doing. It's great.
Thank you.
Here's just my comment in short. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Major League Baseball is in a perfect position because they play so many games.
Right.
They don't have a salary cap. So I had made a comment earlier in the chat room where they can cut the season from 162 to either 100 or 82 games. Still get their revenue, still have the season flow the way it normally does, and have the playoffs jump off at the normal time that they do. Because if they start the season in June, that's 3 months away. Now, they're telling us with the current health conditions that after, you know, I think the quarantine period is like April 8th or something.
Here in our area, they're saying at least until April 20th. At least they'll revisit everything on April 20th here.
Okay, so June is 2 months away from that.
Right.
So they'll be able to recoup, not in full, but their revenue. Now, the disadvantage they have compared to the National Football League, which has a hard salary cap, and the NBA, which has a soft cap, is that in the Major League Baseball, revenue is friendly in terms of the market that you're in. So there's no restriction. So you got, who's the guy, Bryce Harper?
Right, in Philadelphia.
What is he making? He's making over a quarter of a billion dollars.
Yep.
So that's going to hurt an organization like that. But the rest of the organizations who haven't leveraged their salary on a particular player, they'll be fine. So we could see the Major League Baseball season opening up June 1st, like you said, June 1st, middle of June, run all the way through September. And with baseball, it's a rhythm sport. So they can play every day. They can play doubleheaders. You can fit 82 games in that easy. And come September, October, you got your playoffs.
Yeah, I just think they would have to. They would have to be able to have an expanded roster if they're going to be doing that, because you can't have a catcher catching every single day or every other day if there's doubleheaders happening twice a week, you know? So they would, MLB would have to make a change there. And then what happens if – here's the other thing. I had a minor league baseball player on last week. So you get a 40-man roster bonus. If you make the 40-man, you get a bonus. So does that mean that if they do, in fact, expand the rosters – you know, to have, include more players onto that, then what happens? Is more money budgeted for roster bonuses? You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't have.
Here's what I would say. I would think there would be. Because the extra players that you're putting on the roster are not, because you know baseball is tenure. That's like being in the union.
Right.
If you got years in service, they got to pay you top dollar.
Right.
So you can expand your roster, add extra players who aren't going to cost you that much money.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
And they can just fill in just to give that starting catcher a day's rest, 2 days rest. That's why I'm saying baseball's in the perfect position. Now, football, they have nothing to worry about because their season doesn't even start until September.
Yeah, but I think they're worried about the organized team activities and stuff that take place in May, June. I mean, obviously those are going to be canceled, you would think.
Okay. I feel what you're saying. But thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I feel privileged to have this opportunity to talk to you because this is the first time I have ever even heard of your show and called in. And I like what you're doing. You're very knowledgeable in what you're doing. And keep doing what you're doing, Danielle, because, you know, you're the spice of life.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you making the call. And I know you're in the chat, so I just put my Twitter and Facebook there. Usually I'm not on, you know, Blog Talk. Usually I'm on the big station in New York City. But the part-time hosts have been a little bit furloughed in the time being. So I'm just keeping in touch with my audience here.
Okay. And I'll call you back. I'll call you back later on about your Jets and your Giants.
Okay.
I got a lot to say about that.
All right. Well, I'm going to be on official this time next week as well. So I'll see you then.
All right. And I'm going to subscribe.
All right. Cool. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, and how about those Jets and Giants? Jordan Hess wants to know who should the Giants draft when it comes time in the NFL draft? Well, my plan for the Giants could go one of two ways. As you guys know and may not have known, the Giants have round one, pick number four. I assume that's what you're asking. First round pick number four. I understand that both teams need offensive lineman help. I mean, the Giants, Pro Football Focus has them as the 17th ranked, quote unquote, best offensive line in 2019. If you guys want to get aboard, there are 7 minutes left. This is going to cut us off in 7 minutes, but the number is 516-418-5864. That is the number. One more time, 516-418-584. And as far as the plan for the Giants, I think the Giants need to go offensive line. I don't think there's any other way around it, unless, of course, Chase Young is still on the board. If Chase Young is miraculously still on the board for the New York Giants, that's who you can go and get. I mean, he's the best player in the draft. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be there, but we have to cover the bases now. If he is, in fact, there, you go ahead and get Chase Young. And just while we're at it, another defensive lineman that I graded very high that you might not have heard of because he did not participate in the NFL Combine, his name is Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina. He did not participate in the Combine. You probably never heard of him, because if you're watching the Combine, you're obviously taking notes of the guys that are there. But this is a guy that may suffer for this coronavirus thing because he had any opportunity to showcase himself in any pro days. So that's the other thing why they're complaining that they're still holding draft as is. Well, you know what? Then maybe you should show up to the Combine. But that's another thing. So anyway, getting back to the Giants. If Chase Young is there, you go ahead and get him. I would take a really hard look at Javon Kinlaw as well, the lineman, after studying them all. I think you guys can figure out that I am a studier, a homework doer. My top guy is Jedrick Wills out of Alabama. He's my top pick far and away. I mean, we talk about athletes that play multiple sports. I mean, this guy plays multiple sports. He's got basketball footwork to mirror athletic rushers. This is a scouting report on him. He has average instincts and recognition against the blitz. Moves like a tight end in space to adjust to moving targets. How about when Saquon Barkley gets to that second level? If he can adjust in space to moving targets, I mean, come on. And then what I love, he plays with a nasty disposition. So if Jedrick Wills, first of all, from the Giants, if Chase Young is there, you go and get him. But then if Jedrick Wills is there, he is my top out of all of them, to be honest with you. And then when you have other guys, my order is Jedrick Wills, number one, Mekhi Becton out of Louisville, number two, Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa at three, and four would be Andrew Thomas out of Georgia. All right, Lenny Melnick says, Clint Frazier, Davey Garcia, and Andy Harper, Arenado, heard whispers. What? He said, Clint Frazier, Davey Garcia, and Andrew Harper, Arenado. I would do it. I would definitely do that. Jordan says, should the NHL, yes, it was what you thought it was, really. Should the NHL play five games for the teams fighting for a playoff spot if we wanted 2 points out? Yeah, I think that maybe they should have like a wild card playoff there at the end of the regular season. And then at that point, they would enter sort of like a bracket style. I mean, I think at this point, if you're the NHL and you're the NBA, you cannot proceed as planned, you know? So I think that maybe you do those last kind of cusp teams, maybe you let them duke it out. And then from there, you would kind of do a bracket style. And I will not be on next week on the fan, so just stay tuned to the social media channels at Coach MCCARTAN on Twitter, Facebook.com/CoachMcCartan, MCCARTAN there as well. And you guys can catch me there, and I will let you know when the next one is going to be. It will be next Saturday. Just depends on the time. So I don't mean to keep switching this up on you guys, but, you know, I could do that a little bit because I don't have to drive into the studio. I'm calling from home and all that. So just stay tuned to the social medias. I appreciate the first-time listeners and the first-time callers, Mike in Boston. You're great. Brooklyn Brawler and Esoterism, I know you called before. Your phone quality really picked up. You know what? Because I went onto speakerphone. So maybe that's what I'll do next week as well. So thanks for that. I appreciate the little feedback on that. All right. So we are closing in on 34 seconds now. I'm going to hit end episode. Thank you guys for checking in, tuning in, and I'll see you guys next week. I appreciate it. And hopefully soon I'll be back on WFAN radio. Thank you for tonight. So, thanks. Stay safe, everybody. And you know what? I went to ShopRite today and there was not one paper product in stock. I stop hoarding the toilet paper and the paper towels now, please. And thank you. No problem, Mike. All right, I'm going to hit end episode. Bye, everybody. I'll see you next week. Ciao.